Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Man, raise your hand if you're going to be sad when the summer vibes music is gone. Oh, so good. Hey, I'm really grateful that you're here today. My name's Ryan. I'm one of our leaders here. And if you're joining us online, welcome to you also. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but for the last 7 years, at the end of every summer, I've had the chance to take at least one of my boys, sometimes both of them, on a backpacking trip with some other dads and their sons. And it has just become one of those anchor points in our year that I feel like is sacred time, and it's what the Celts call thin space, where the overlap of heaven and earth is really thin. And I just sense that God does great work out there. But before you ever go out on a backpacking trip or on a hiking trip, you have to do what I would argue is one of the most important jobs of any trip, because it shapes almost everything, and that is you have to choose which trail you're going to go on. And so before we go, we will look at maps and we'll look at different trails and we'll get advice. And because here's the thing, in so many ways, the trail determines the trip. Like, the trail determines what you see along the way. It determines how many miles you hike, how much elevation you gain, which in turn determines how much everybody complains along the way. So like, it shapes where you hike, or where you sleep. It shapes what you see, the animals that you see, the people that you encounter along the way. It shapes where you end up. I mean, in so many ways, the trail determines the trip. And I would say that that's true not just of backpacking or hiking, but that that's true of our lives as well. That the road that you walk determines the kind of life that you live. And I'm not just meaning the road that you walk as far as the circumstances that happen to you and the events that take place in your life. Those are important. But even more than that, there's a road that you're walking on your inner life. There's a way that you respond to the things that happen to you. There's a way that you respond when you feel backed into a corner or you grow small. There's a way that you respond when you don't get your way at work. There's a way that you respond when your spouse or roommate says something that you don't like. There's a road that you are walking. And ultimately, it will determine the kind of life that you live. And here's the thing. Most of the time, we don't even notice it. Most of the time, it's just total cruise control. Like, that's just, I just get angry. That's the way I get. When I'm driving, I just get impatient. That's just who I am. And we make these decisions about the road that we walk often without even knowing it. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants to talk to the churches in Galatia about in Galatians chapter 5. So, if you have your Bible, would you open there with me, Galatians chapter 5? Let me catch you up in where we've been in this letter. If you haven't been with us, we're so grateful you're here today. The book, or the letter, that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia has a central message, and it is that we are made right with God by faith alone in Christ alone, period. Anything you add to that takes away from it, severs you from Christ, causes you to fall from grace. And it's Christ alone, by faith alone, that is the core thesis of Galatians. And last week we read about the fact that that faith in Christ leads us to freedom in Christ. Amen? That we were created for freedom. God gave us freedom because he wants us to be free. But last week, I want you to think, I know it's been 7 days, but just think back. There are two ways that we lose our freedom. And they both start with L. Anyone remember the first? Legalism, where we lose our freedom by thinking we have to prove ourselves. If you're living to prove yourself, you're not free. The second way is also starts with an L, through license. My goodness, my heart is strangely warmed, you guys. So good. Through license. Yeah, when we say we're going to be carried by every single desire, if we want it, we're going for it, I'm going to do me, you do you, we live for pleasure, that is a surefire way to lose the freedom that we have. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the church about that. He encourages them to choose love as a better way, But there's this question that sort of hangs in the background, and the question is this: if we're not governed by law or a list of rules, and we're not controlled by the flesh, so we're not saying yes to every desire that we have, what should determine the way that we live? How do we live this Christian life? What does it look like to be one of Jesus' disciples? If it's not law and it's not license, what is it? I'm so grateful you asked that. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Are you there? That's the question the Apostle Paul is going to answer. And here's the way he begins. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not." Everybody say, "will not." "Gratify the desires of the flesh." I would argue to you that this is, in one verse, you have the organizing, guiding principle of what it looks like to live as one of Jesus' disciples. Underline it, circle it, star it. Even if you're using the Bible from the chair back in front of you, it'll be important for the next person too, okay? Let me give you a brief word on both of these words, flesh and spirit, because I think they can be a bit confusing. Flesh is your desires, the things that you want apart from what God designed you for. You could think of it as ego. You can think of it as you do you, I do me, all those things. Like that, the desires that exist in us apart from God's design, that's your flesh. Now the spirit, we've already read about in the book of Galatians, that when we put our faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God came to dwell within us, amen? And the Spirit is not an it, the Spirit is a person, it's a he. He lives in you. You've been made alive to Christ. His Spirit dwells in you right now. Right now, this very moment. And so notice what Paul is saying here. And I want to highlight two different words for you. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the flesh." He doesn't say, "Walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the flesh." He says, "Walk by the Spirit and you will not," as if to say, if you're walking by the Spirit, the most natural byproduct that will be coming out of your life is that you will not be controlled by your flesh. Now, we could phrase this a few other ways to just sort of tease out what he's saying. You could read it, if you walk by the flesh, you will not carry out the desire of the Spirit. You could read it, if you walk by the flesh, you will carry out the desire of the what? Flesh. If you walk by the Spirit, you'll carry out the desire of the Spirit. And here's why this is so important, you guys. Don't miss this. Paul is putting out in front of the churches in Galatia and in front of us today. He's saying, listen, this is the hinge point. You have to decide which path you are going to walk. Which road are you going to walk? Are you going to walk with the Spirit? Are you going to walk in your flesh? And the decision that you make will shape everything about you. Everything about you. The way that we win the battle against the flesh, can we agree, is pretty counterintuitive. Because most of us think, listen, if we're going to win the battle against our flesh, against the things that our flesh wants, we've got to fight it head on. And Paul's like, no, you don't. That's not the way you fight it. You're struggling with pornography, you don't fight it head on. You're struggling with anger, you don't fight it head on. You're struggling in your marriage, you don't fight it head on. You actually fight it in a counterintuitive way. You fight it by what? Walking with the Spirit. Then the natural byproduct is you will not gratify the flesh. And here's what he's saying, this is so important, is that real change doesn't come from trying harder. That's sort of good news, isn't it? It doesn't come from white-knuckled, duty-driven, I've got to make it happen on my own mindset. Real change comes when we learn to walk with the Spirit of God. And I don't just mean learn to walk with the Spirit of God when we gather together in worship. And we're like, I need a move of God. Amen. We need a move of God. We need a move of God here. Can I get an amen? Something unique happens here when we gather together, the body of Christ, we become a dwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we also need a move of God on Monday morning. Can I get an amen? We need a move of God when we get into conflict with our spouse or our roommates. We need a move of God when it's easier to hold on to bitterness than it is to forgive. We need a move of God when I get stingy rather than generous. See, walking by the Spirit is learning to live day by day, moment by moment, in submission and surrender to the Spirit of God who currently, right now, lives inside of you if you are a follower of Jesus. He's present, he's leading, he's empowering. The question is, are you on that trail? Are you following him? Because our role is to learn to recognize what he's doing and then to get on board. Now, from there, the Apostle Paul is going to unpack three things for us, three ways that he wants us to think about what it looks like to live walking by the Spirit. Verse 17, this is the way he continues. He writes this, "For the desires of the flesh," that's like my ego, me driving the train, "are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, here's what I want you to see. I want you to see three words: against, and opposed. That if you're a follower of Jesus, this is what's happening in you right now. Now, there's a war that's taking place. That before you were a follower of Jesus, all you did was surrender to your flesh. But when you said yes to Jesus, your mind and your heart became a battleground. Did you know that? That your mind and your heart became a battleground. And I think what Paul wants us to do is to expect a battle. Expect a battle. Before you knew Jesus, your flesh ran the show. But when you became a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God took up residence in you. And now there are competing desires within you. Can I get an amen? That you want, because the Spirit of God is in you, you want what Jesus wants. And you also sometimes want what you want, right? Like, you want to sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you want to honor Jesus. You want to share that juicy bit of gossip, and you want to follow Jesus. You want to hold on to bitterness. Feels sort of good. And you want to follow Jesus. That's the battle. That's the battle. And it rages inside of each of us. See, as I read Paul's words here, I think there's such an important message for us in them. And the message is that receiving the Spirit doesn't eliminate the conflict, it creates it. He's like, welcome to the war that's going on inside of you moment by moment, day by day. The war is actually evidence that something is right in you, not that something is wrong. Let me, is it okay if I tease that out a little bit? Three of you, fine, whatever, okay. If there isn't a war in you, if there isn't a battle between the flesh and the Spirit, would you just go with me for a moment and let's just assume it's not because you're so holy and righteous. What if it's because you haven't listened to the voice of the Spirit for a long time? What if it's because you've grown cold? What if it's because you've just gotten numb? And what if there's an invitation on the table today to say yes, to hear his voice, to engage and to expect the battle? Well, some people might go, okay, well, Ryan, I'm not exactly sure which path I'm on. How could I know? which path I'm walking. So glad you asked. Keep reading. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are what? Say it with me. Evident. Like Paul's like, hey, it's obvious, you guys. It's obvious. Now the fact that these things aren't as obvious in our cultural moment that they are works of the flesh should suggest just how far we've fallen. But he says it's obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Things like these means this is not an exhaustive list, that there may be things that you're involved in that are works of the flesh that aren't on this list, and Paul just wants you to go, listen, don't write it off so quick just because I didn't list it. He says, I warn you, and I want to warn you too. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here's what he's saying. You cannot say that you are living in God's kingdom, which is his rule and his reign, when you are just following your flesh. Either he's Lord or you're Lord, but both cannot be true. And he's saying that both temporally and eternally, you have to choose who your Lord is going to be. And you don't inherit the kingdom if you're going, I'm going to do me. It's impossible. Now, I want you to notice that the works of the flesh show up in all sorts of different kinds of ways. I try to sort of put them in categories for us so that we could see them. There are sexual categories, spiritual, excess, and relational. It's interesting. If you read through that list again, over half of those terms, those words, are relational in nature. And I think what Paul's saying is, you cannot be controlled by the flesh and actually love the people around you. You can lust for the people around you. You can use the people around you. But you can't give yourself away if you're just operating based on your own ego. Now, let's keep reading. This is a passage of scripture that the great preacher, pastor, John Stott would pray every single morning. Here's the way it goes. Many of you probably have memorized this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Now, here's what I want you to notice. That what Paul's doing in the flow of Galatians chapter 5, remember, it started with walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He goes, okay, here's how you know if you're gratifying the desires of the flesh. And here he's saying, here's how you know if you're walking in step with the Spirit. Paul's not giving you a list of things to try to do. He didn't give you beforehand a list of vices that you should try to avoid. That's not what this is. What he's doing is he's giving you signposts to show you which road you're actually walking. So if you've ever been backpacking or hiking and you have gotten to an area where the trail didn't look quite as noticeable, sometimes they'll have what's called cairns out there. Does anybody know that? So it's like sometimes they're really small, like rocks that are stacked up on top of each other as if to say, here's the trail, don't miss it. Sometimes they're really big. Here's some cairns on the way up to Mount Langley. They're massive. There's a few of our people that are a little bit winded, right? What Paul's doing in Galatians 5 is he's giving you cairns to say, this is the road that you are walking. And his challenge for you and for me is not only to expect a battle, but it's to notice what our lives are producing. So here's what that means. When jealousy keeps showing up, that's a mile marker along the road. When you find yourself responding in patience, that's a cairn. Like when anger controls you, that's a cairn that shows you which road you're on. When kindness starts to come more natural to you, that's a cairn, that's a mile marker on the path that you are walking. And he wants us, I think today, to go, all right, Lord, what's actually coming out of my life? Like just for a moment, like would you take a little bit of inventory? Like what about your relationships? What's coming out of your relationships right now? What about your inner life? What's going on in your inner life right now? Like not just in this moment, but over the last week. What kind of feelings, emotions have risen to the top? What kind of things have you been frustrated about over the last few days? What desires do you have? See, he wants us to notice our actual everyday lives. That shows us whether or not we're walking in the power of the Spirit or in the power of our own flesh. Two things that I want you to notice about what he writes. First of all, he uses the phrase works of the flesh and then what of the Spirit. Did you catch it? Fruit of the Spirit. So works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit. And ultimately he's saying, this is all about the source that you're drawing from. Works of the flesh are produced by you. Fruit of the Spirit is produced by whom? The Spirit. Say it louder for the people in the back. The Spirit, right. He wants us to notice that our source is determining so much. Second thing. Did you notice that it's fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit? And for an author like the Apostle Paul, who in chapter 3 made a huge deal out of singular and plural, the seed of Abraham, not the seeds of Abraham. Do you think he just overlooked fruit versus fruits? Please say no. This is absolutely 100% intentional. And what I want you to do is picture the fruit of the Spirit less like grapes, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and more like sections of an orange that are a part of the whole. Now you may go, okay, Paulson, that's interesting, nice, cool pictures, but who cares? Who cares? Well, I think it matters for a few reasons. First, a lot of times what we do is we take the fruit of the Spirit and we turn it into the fruits of the Spirit, and then we create a checklist or a new law. I've got to be more loving. I've got to be more patient. I really should. We start shoulding all over ourselves. I should be more kind. Or what we do is we just, we turn it into personality traits and we're like, well, I'm just not all that gentle. That's just not who I am. I'm an Enneagram 8. I can't help it. Right? And we're like, we make all sorts of excuses for why that fruit isn't born in our life. And here's what I want you to hear. This is really important to understand that it's fruit, not fruits, because this isn't a checklist to accomplish. It's a picture of who we become as we walk with the Spirit. Paul's showing us what the Spirit-shaped life looks like. And ultimately, the Spirit is forming the character of Jesus in each of the followers of Jesus. Because Jesus is loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, and self-controlled. Amen? And what Paul is after, remember Galatians 4:19, he's in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Okay, so that I think begs a question for me. What do I do when I don't see the fruit? What do I do when I don't see the fruit? We've got this tree, this orange tree in our backyard. And I'm just going to be honest with you, we don't see a lot of fruit on this tree. And neither do you. Although there is something right here. Please, Jesus. Right? And so here's what we don't do. We don't, Kelly and I, we don't go into our backyard and like yell at this tree. We're not like, you stupid orange tree. You call yourself an orange tree. Prove it, right? And like, we're not like when like our harvest season comes, which harvest season for us is pluck, like that's done. We're not like, you stupid orange tree. How dare you call yourself an orange tree? You just need to try better. You need to do more, right? Which is the way that we often self-talk. Be more patient. Quit lashing out in anger. Like, how many of you that reflects your own self-talk? Now, what do we do? Well, we go and we check and we're like, oh yeah, no, that sprinkler down there definitely isn't working and needs a little bit more fertilizer. And like, when the fruit tree isn't producing fruit, you don't yell at the tree. You tend to the roots. Because what you see on the branches, will you just look up at me for just a moment? What you see on the branches of this tree and what you see on the branches of your life is simply a byproduct of what your heart is most deeply connected to. The fruit is just displaying the source. And that's why Jesus, when he talked to his disciples, said, abide in me, like make your home in me. And I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Let's get this right. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides, get it, this is a promise. So lock in. In me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. For apart from me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nada. Like zip, zilch, nothing. So it's a promise. You abide, you bear fruit. And it's also, there's a negative promise on the other side. You don't abide, you don't bear fruit. You don't bear fruit. So here's what I want you to catch. Our responsibility isn't to manufacture fruit, it's to stay connected to the source of life. And it's a command. Walk by the Spirit. You choose, moment by moment, day by day, walk by the Spirit. He's your source. He's your life. Listen to the way that Paul continues. He says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. Meaning, that happened when? Past tense. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here's what he's saying. When you said yes to Jesus, you made Jesus your Lord, and you said no to being your own God. You said, I'm not calling the shots anymore. I'm letting Jesus call the shots now. We have crucified the flesh. I love the way that Puritan author John Owen put it famously now. He said, be killing flesh, be killing sin, or it will be killing you. It's a good line. Paul put it like this in the book of Galatians. I've been what? I have been, past tense, when I said yes to Jesus, crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Life is a long surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. No to me, yes to him. Your will be done in me. And then he says, verse 25, and if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Throughout this passage, we've read, walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and now stay in step with the Spirit. He's saying the same thing, but he's coming at it from different angles. This stay in step with the Spirit is really interesting because the first century readers would have heard and would have seen in their mind's eye like military personnel side by side, shoulder by shoulder, going through drills where they're in sync with each other. Or they would have seen somebody who's playing music or even conducting music, like an entire symphony or orchestra, instruments gathered together playing the same music. And here's what he's saying. He says, expect a battle, notice what your life is producing, and then the invitation for discipleship to Jesus is to learn to follow the Spirit's lead. Learn to follow his lead. Learn to listen to his music as he conducts, as he leads. When my family and I were on vacation, the place that we were at, we went to dinner one night, and then we came back from dinner, and we walked through the courtyard of this resort, and there was a silent disco party going on. Anyone ever been to a silent disco to the glory of God? Well, we stumbled into it and just felt like it was a divine invitation. So, if you're unfamiliar, here's what a silent disco is. Silent disco is everybody who's at the party has headphones on. There's different DJs, and you get to choose which music you listen to. So if you just walk through the party, everybody's like doing their own thing, right? Like, I kid you not, like some people are like Macarena, like dun da da dun da da dun da da dun da da dun da da, and other people are like YMCA, and then yet others are throwing their hands up in the air like they just don't care, right? Like, and it's all happening at the exact same time, and you can be like, hey, I don't like that song. Click, oh yeah, that's the song I want to dance to. Oh no, not that one. Click, I want to dance to that one. And I think so many of us wish discipleship to Jesus was a lot more like a silent disco. I get to do whatever I want with my boyfriend or girlfriend. Click, I'm going to listen to that one. Can look at whatever I want online. God doesn't care. Click, listen to that song. I'm going to hold on to this bitterness. Click, don't need to listen to him. I'm just going to hold my stuff so tight. I'm going to listen to my own song. Click. And the invitation of discipleship to Jesus is not to choose your own music. It's to sync up, to stay in step with what the Spirit is doing. Now, you may be asking, okay, how? How? And that's where I want to sort of land us today. How? What does that look like? Well, I think, first of all, it looks like giving the Spirit of God who lives in you your attention. We live in a moment in time where attention is one of our greatest commodities, one of the greatest commodities. People are trying to buy your attention. And in the screens that we have and the busyness that we have, it's so easy to go through a day without even realizing that the Spirit of God is present in you. That's why disciplines like silence and solitude and prayer and scripture reading and fasting are so important. They don't make God present. They awaken you to the presence of God. He's here. He's in you. Can you hear? Will you respond? Decades ago, Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, now Crew, came up with a term that he just calls spiritual breathing. And here's what the practice is, and I just want you to maybe jot some notes down, and then we're going to practice it together. But spiritual breathing has two components to it. First is to exhale. And he uses breathing as a metaphor because we all do that every day, all day. But to really be intentional, and exhaling in spiritual breathing is to confess. It might be a simple prayer. Like, God, I've been trying to control everything around me. God, I'm an angry person. I'm impatient. I'm trying to live out of my own strength. And here's what we do. We just confess it. We tell him what's true, and he already knows it. Whew. Here's where I've been. Here's what I've been a part of. And then, in that same breath, we surrender. Lord, I don't want to live there anymore. So I'm just handing that over to you. And then we inhale. And what we inhale is dependence. God, your spirit lives in me. And I want to tap into, I want to rely on your power, not mine. I want to obey. I want to say yes, even when it's hard. We exhale confession and surrender, and we inhale dependence and obedience. So here's what I want you to do for just a moment, just a moment. Would you just close your eyes? And would you just sort of look at your life over the last, I don't know, week or so. Become aware of God's presence with you right now. And then just sort of look back. Where have you noticed the battle between the flesh and the spirit? Is work stressing you out? Are your spouse or kids driving you absolutely crazy? Did you get bad news recently? Maybe anger keeps showing up, or jealousy, or lust, or impatience. Where have you been? What's your life producing? And here's what I want you to do. Take a deep breath in, hold it for a second, and then just slowly exhale and pray something like, Holy Spirit, I confess, and you fill in the blank. And I surrender it to you. Then would you take a deep breath in? And would you just tell him, Holy Spirit, I know you reside in me. I need you. I depend on you. I rely on you. Produce in me what I can't produce on my own. And then would you just ask him, what's the next step of obedience that you want me to take? Is there somebody I need to apologize to, make things right with? Do I need to look my kids in the eye and remind them I love them? Like, don't defend, don't excuse, just what's the next step that Jesus is inviting you by the power of his spirit to take? And here's the thing, you guys, did you open your eyes for just a moment? This idea of spiritual breathing, just like you breathe all day, this might be something that you need to go back to in like a few minutes. But the invitation is to go back, to confess, to surrender, to depend, and to obey. Moment by moment, day by day, responsive to the Spirit of God who lives in us. That's the core, you guys. This is the core of what it means to be one of Jesus's disciples. And I'm just struck by the fact that he has so much good in store for us. I was looking back at that list of the fruit of the Spirit, and I just decided I just want to end our time together with, I did my best to sort of write what would be like a modern day definition of what each of these look like. Love. To choose another person's good, even when it costs you something. Joy. A deep gladness that doesn't need your circumstances to cooperate. Whew. Peace. An inner settledness in a world constantly trying to make you anxious. Anybody felt that lately? Patience. I love this one. Refusing to make other people pay for moving slower than you'd like. Ouch. That helps. Kindness, using your strength to make someone else's life lighter. Goodness, choosing what is right even when nobody is watching or applauding. Faithfulness, becoming the kind of person whose yes can be trusted. Gentleness, strength that doesn't need to dominate, intimidate, or win. Self-control, having desires without letting your desires have you. As I was writing these and sitting with those 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, I had 2 thoughts in me. One was, I've got a ways to go. Anybody with me? And 2, gosh, I want more of this in my life. Like, please, Jesus, more and more and more. We confess, we surrender, we depend, and we obey, and he invites us into the good life because when we follow the Spirit, we walk into abundant life. Amen? So Lord, may it be true of us. Would we be people who walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, are led by the Spirit, and who stay in step with your Spirit? Lord, help us become more aware of your presence. To breathe in and to breathe out, to confess and surrender, to depend, to obey, and to see your power at work in our lives, your fruit born more and more in our lives, our relationships shaped more and more by your Spirit, our church shaped more and more by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way in us, we pray, for your glory and our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you see?
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.